Today's shir is Masechta Gittin Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom, with the words L'Rava Damar. However, just to quickly review what we've learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara leading up to this Gemara. The Mishnah quoted a machlokes between the Chachamim, between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel, regarding an Eved who was kidnapped and was then ransomed. Where according to the Tanakama, if he was ransomed to be a slave, he remains a slave, whereas if he was ransomed to be a Ben Chayrim, he's not. And according to Shimon Gamliel, he remains a slave no matter what the intention was when he was ransomed. And the Gemara had two approaches on how to explain this Mishnah. There was the approach of Abaya, who says that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the original owner has not yet been miyash, has not yet given up hope on getting the Eved back. And therefore, according to the Tanakama, if the Eved was ransomed, we in the intent that he remain an Eved, so then he goes back to his first owner. If he was ransomed with the intent that he be free, he doesn't work for not his first owner, nor for his second owner. And Shimon Gamliel says that, again, according to Baye's understanding, whether under all circumstances, the halacha is that he would go back to the original owner. That's how Abaye explained it. Rava explained that our Mishnah is referring to a situation of Achayish, and therefore, if he was ransomed with the intent that he be an Eved, he goes to the second owner, to the person who ransomed him. If he was ransomed with the intent to be free, he doesn't work neither for the first owner nor for the one that ransomed him. Rav Shimon Gamliel Eimer, that in both cases, whether he was ransomed to be a slave or to be a free man, he's always going to go back to the first owner. That's how Rava explained the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Ula Rava. According to Rava's understanding of our Mishnah, and now Rava's understanding of the Tanakama, who says, Dama lach yush l'rabbi sheni, that says that a slave who was ransomed after his first owner was miyash from him, to whom will he work for if he was ransomed with the intent that he remain a slave? He will work for his second owner. Ask the Gemara for the one that ransomed him. Rabbi Shane Riman Konalei, how did the person who ransomed him obtain a kinyan in him, that it should acquire ownership in him, that he should become his Eved? Answer the Gemara, Mishaboy. He got this from the person who captured him, from the guy who kidnapped him. Ask the Gemara, Shavoy Gufei Mikonele. In order for me to be able to acquire ownership from someone, that person has to have ownership himself. Ask the Gemara, does the non-Jewish kidnapper of this Eved Kanani have any ownership in the Eved Kanani? Answers the Gemara, in. Yes. Konelei Lamasi Yodav. The Gemara says that he does have that much ownership in him, that he owns him, he owns all that he earns. And since he owns what he earns, that gives him a level of ownership. Now when the Jew who ransoms the Eved Kanani from that person buys him, that is going to complete that he should have ownership. And actually, there's a three-way machlokes rishonim, what exactly happens when the Jew comes and ransoms him from the kidnapper. Rashi's opinion is that Maisi Yadayim he bought from him, and now the Jewish person who ransomed him will take the Eved Kanani to the mikveh, and thereby the Eved Kanani will, his guf, his entire, not just his Masi Yadayim, but even his Guf will become into the possession of the Jew who ransomed him. That's Rashi's opinion. Miri's opinion is that we don't even have to go through that. As soon as the Jew buys the Eved Kanani from the guy who kidnapped him, his level of ownership, given that he is a Jew, increases. That not only does he own Masa Yodayim, but he even owns the guf of the Eved Kanani. And the third opinion is the opinion of the Tosfos HaRosh, who says that in this situation, even though, as we've learned and will learn in Mitzvah Shem, usually a Jew could have ownership in Eved Kanani, not just for his Masa Yodayim, but even for his guf. Here, since this Jew is buying the Eved Kanani from a non-Jew who only had ownership of Masa Yodayim, the Jew's ownership cannot be any greater. And in this case, the ownership that the Jew who ransomed the Eved Kanani from the non-Jewish owner, non-Jewish kidnapper, will be limited to Masa Yodayim alone. So we've learned now in our Gemara actually two dinim, that a goy has ownership, could have ownership in Eved Kanani for Masa Yadayim, not the guf, that everybody agrees. And furthermore, that how did the non-Jewish kidnapper obtain that ownership? Through chazaka. And the Gemara now will go ahead to prove how we know that this is valid. Says the Gemara, Domer Reish Lakish, Menayin Lev Kechavim, Shekanes Oiv Kechavim Masi Yadav. From where do we know that one guy could buy another guy for his labor? Shenem V'gam B'nei HaTashovim Hagar Mehem Tiknu. As Rashi says, the words Mehem Tiknu are superfluous. To teach us, Atam Koinem Mehem, a Jew can acquire a non-Jew as a slave. However, they cannot acquire Jews as slaves. Furthermore, they can't buy one each other. Continues the Braisa. It would be thought that one non-Jew can't buy another non-Jew. Ask the Gemara, we need to understand the words of the Braisa. The Braisa is asking, can they or can't they buy one from the other? Ha'amrit, we just said explicitly, lo'yhem kaidim zemizeh, that they can't buy one from the other. So what's shot in the Braisa? Answers the Gemara Hochikama. Lo'yhem kaidim zemizeh legufoi. One guy can't buy another guy as far as owning the actual person. However, yochol la'yiknu zel zel masi yadav. I would think that that should be extended, that one non-Jew can't buy another non-Jew even for his work. Says the Gemara, Amit Kavachoymer. Oivik Achavim Yisrael Koina. If a guy has the right to buy a Jew for his labor, certainly Oivik Achavim Leikoshkein, a guy could buy another guy for his labor. And here we have a Machloikis Rishonim. How to understand the kinyan that a guy has in another guy for Masi Yadayim. Some Rishonim learn that he's considered his full-fledged Eved. But even though normally we know that the ownership of an Eved Kanani goes to the degree that the Jew owns the actual person, here it's going to be limited that he only owns his Masi Yadayim. However, other Rishonim say that it's never really an ownership. It's only a right to his work. What would be the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be, if this guy wants to free the Eved Kanani, what does it take? If we say that it's considered an ownership, then a shtar shichur would be required. If, on the other hand, it's only a right to labor, then a shtar shichur perhaps would not even be required in such a circumstance when he wants to let him go. Continues the Gemara, the Hema, I would say, Hani Mili Bekaspa, when is the halacha that one guy could buy another guy? That's if he purchased him with money. Aval b'chazaka. But if he purchased him with chazaka, like. And here too we have machlokes rishonim. What does the Gemara mean when it says chazaka? Many rishonim say that chazaka here means like it means throughout Shas, that we know that somebody could acquire ownership through chazaka by having an eved, one wants to buy an eved with chazaka, having the eved do some work for me, put on my shoes, wash me. That's the chazaka that the Gemara refers to here. Others suggest that that's not what chazaka means. Here it means chazaka of kibush. Since he captured him in war, he kidnapped him, that's the chazaka that the Gemara is referring to. But the regular type of chazaka that we're accustomed to understanding certainly doesn't apply by a goy. Amar Rapapa, says Rapapa, I'll prove to you that one goy, that chazaka does apply. Because the halacha is, I'm an amoyav tira b'sichon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us that we are not allowed to capture any lands of Amon and Moav. However, the city of Cheshbon, which was originally part of Moav, and certain cities, Me'arnon ad Yaboik, which were originally cities of Amon, Sichon captured them, and then the Jews captured these cities from Sichon. And since they captured them from Sichon, not from Amon and Moav, they did not violate the Isser of taking something from Amon and Moav. So we see, how did Sichon get these cities? Through Chazaka. They didn't buy the cities, they captured the cities. So we see that we could get a city that by Goyim, Chazaka works also. The Ramban says that these cities must have been captured by Sichon before Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that they're not allowed to take cities from Amon and Moav. Because if once at the point when Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael that any city that belongs to Amon and Moav you may not capture, the fact that Sichon took those cities would be not helpful. The Mefarshim asked, the Rishonim asked, that we know there's a rule that Karka ain't an exelis. So how can we say that these cities became Sichon? So some say that this Gemara is going according to the opinion that says Karka is an exelis. Others say, and this follows what we just said a moment ago, here we're referring to a Kibush Mechama, which we're saying Kibush Mechama is a whole different level of Kinyan, and that maybe even applies by Karka. Another teretz is that even according to the Manda Omer, that Karka ain't an exelis, if it's to the degree that there's such a level of Yiyush that nobody even refers to these cities as once being longing to someone else, then the halacha is that then the Karka and exelis. Sichon had such a total control over these two cities, over these cities of Amon and Moab that they captured, that no one ever called them any more cities of Amon or Moab. Ashkechon, Avkechavim. So we've proven that one guy could buy from another guy, could acquire from another guy with chazaka. However, Avkechavim Yisra Manolan, how do we know that one could do the same from a Jew? The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, that, and that's how he could get David Kanani, who is considered to a degree as a Jew, says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, V'yesh menu shevi, and as Rashi teaches us in the Chumash, that the shevi that was captured was Eved Kanani, so we see that the Goyish captor can take ownership of a Eved Kanani through Kibush. And as Tosfos summarizes what we've just learned, we need, he says, all of the halachas that we just learned to prove the points we wanted. Rish Lakish proved that a guy could own another guy for Masa Yadayim. We also learned from the story of Amon and Moav that Chazaka is passable by a goy, and then we learned that it's passable for goy to take ownership of Evet Kanani with Chazaka. So ask Tosfos, why do we need the limit of Sichon? Says Tosfos, if I wouldn't have had the limit from Sichon, I would say that the pasuk of Yesh Vimeni Shevi just tells us a story, but it doesn't tell us that he took ownership. Only after we learned the parasha of Ammon Amoyev, that there is a concept of Chazaka, that there is a concept of Kibush by Goyim, can we understand the pasuk of Yesh Vimeni Shevi, that a Goy through Chazaka could take full ownership of the Evet Kanani, at least for Masa Yadayim. Omer of Shemin Bar Abba Omer of Yoichanan, Evet Shabarachan Beis Asurim, an Evet that escapes jail, Yotzel Cheres. He goes free. For Loi Oid El Shekaifin, this rabbi, we force his master of a Kaifin Loi Get Shechur to give him a Get Shechur. And it's important to quote a Ritva here, a Ritva Masechta Gedushin, that teaches us an important concept that we're going to use in the next coming, in the coming shiurim. The ownership of a Jew to his Evet Kanani really has two elements. One is Mammon, he's my Evet Kanani, I own him. And the other is Isser. There are dinim to an Evet Kanani. Most notably, an Evet Kanani cannot marry a Jewish woman. Our Gemara is teaching us that at certain times, the Kenyan Mammon that a Jew has on his Evet Kanani is no longer there. Like this case, where Evet Kanani ran away from jail, that Chazal say that the Kenyan Mammon is no longer there. But the fact that the Kenyan Mammon is no longer there doesn't completely free the Evet Kanani, because the Evet Kanani still can't marry Jewish women, because he wasn't completely freed. Tell us, Chazal, that the Jewish owner should then must then write a Mishtar Shechur. Because what's the point of having this Kenyan, of having this ownership of Isser over the Evet Kanani? He doesn't have to work for you anymore. He just prevented from marrying a Jewish woman or a non-Jewish woman. And therefore, Chazal, tell us to free him. Tanan. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ben kach ishtabed, under whatever circumstances the Evet was ransomed, he remains a slave. V'amar Rav Abba-Bachana, Amar Rav Yochanan. Kol makom shishon Rav Gamliel b'mishnaseinu, wherever we have an opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel in a Mishnah, halach k'moisai. To Rishonim point out, where Rav Yochanan says b'mishnaseinu, we are obligated to follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel in a Mishnah, not necessarily in a Braisa. Chutz, there are three exceptions. Mi Arev, there's a machloikas tanakamen of Shimon Gamliel, if somebody accepted himself to be an Arev Kablin, to be a guarantor to a loan. The Chacham hold that the creditor could go to the guarantor before he even goes to the loiva. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Sidon is a story regarding somebody said that to his wife, I will divorce you on the condition that you give me back my coat, and the coat was lost. Tanakam says that the woman isn't able to fulfill the condition and she's therefore not divorced. Rav Shimon Gamliel says she could give the value of the coat. And Raya Achroina, we're referring to a situation where there's a case between a Teveya and a Nitva, and the Nitva says that I have no proof, I have no witnesses to back up my claim. And then afterwards he says, I did find proof or witnesses. Tanakam says, once he said he has no proof, it's too late. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says that he could still be accepted. Those are the cases we don't pass on like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But in all other cases, we pass on Rav Shimon Gamliel. So now ask the Gemara, isn't Rav Yochanan's psak that we just learned, that an Evet that runs away is freed, contradictory to what Rav Shimon Gamliel said in our Mishnah, that even the Evet that was captured and was ransomed still remains a slave? Says the Gemara, Bishlam Abaya, according to Abaya, we have a very easy way of reconciling these two halachas. Mukalei l'hai l'fnei Yish. Abai explained our Mishnah referring before Yish, and he could say the distance Rabbi Yochanan said about the Eved Shabaruch Beis Asurim is referring l'achai Yish. El l'rova. But according to Rava's understanding of our Mishnah, that says that our Mishnah is even in a case of l'achai Yish, kashed Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Here he passes in Amish like Rabbi Yochanan, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that the Eved that emerges from captivity goes back to his original owner. And here it says that the Eved that goes out from captivity doesn't go back to his original owner. Amlach Rava, response to Rava. Tamamai, why did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel say in our Mishnah that the Eved that comes out of captivity goes back to his original owner? B'shem the Chizkiyah. Because as he quoted Chizkiyah, because like that, Chizkiyah said, we're concerned that if an Eved who's ransomed from capture has the opportunity to go back to be freed, every Eved is going to get himself captured. Bereach Shani. However, the Eved who ran away from jail is different than this. Hashtel Tolomal Sanashe. Because this is an Eved that was prepared to put his life at risk. Apula and Apple Nafshel Geisis. This Eved was ready to put himself at risk by running away from jail. And therefore, explains the Ritva, we have no reason to make a gzera from him to everyone else. Because, explains the Ritva, an Eved that not... What are we concerned about by the Eved who was captured? That if Eved who's captured and is ransomed can be freed, we're concerned that every Eved is going to do that. That every Eved is going to get himself captured, knowing that by getting captured, I stand a chance of being freed. But that's only, says the Ritva, getting captured. That doesn't put your life at risk. However, running away from jail is something which is, if they're going to catch you, as you're running away, they'll shoot to kill. Therefore, we can't say that just because this Eved does it, every Eved will learn from him. And therefore, even though the Eved Shaborach, even though Rav Shimon Gamliel will agree, goes free, because we have no concern that he will serve as a model to other Avodim to act inappropriate, to run away. Says the Gemara, Amsid Rav Abba, Amsid Mashmul Ishtaboy, the servant, the Shifcha Kananis of Mashmul was captured. Perkua l'shem amsa, and she was freed. That she was ransomed when the intent that she remain a shifcha kenaz v'shadrule, and then they sent her back to Shmuel sholchale. So they sent to Shmuel. When they sent her back, they sent the following message: Anan k'rav Shimon Gamliel sfirlon. We are like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that Eved who's ransomed goes back to his original owner. At you, even if you hold like the Rabbanon, anan l'shem amsa parkinelo noyelo. We say we ransom her when the intent is that she remain a shifcha kananis. And in such a case, the Rabbanon hold that she remains a shifcha kananis. What was there? However, says the Gemara, they made a fundamental mistake, because inu sover they thought lifnei yirushava. That Shmuel had not yet been miyash, and therefore, if Shmuel had not yet been miyash, the halacha is that if she's ransomed, she l'shem avdus, she goes back to her original owner. However, what really was the case here was la'achi yush ava. It was already after yush, and in such case that everybody agrees, at least according to Abaye's understanding, that she goes free. And in fact, Tosfos says, why do we say that he was following Abaye's understanding? Maybe we should say he was following Rava's understanding. And according to Rava's understanding of Shimon Gamliel, even La'acha Yiyush, the halacha is that she goes back, she would remain an Eved. So Tosfos answers that even though Rav Shimon Gamliel says that Eved after Yiyush, even if after Yiyush was ransomed, under any circumstances, remains an Eved, says Tosfos, he would be an Eved to this person who ransomed him, not to the original owner. And here they were sending her back to the original owner, which is no longer passable. V'shmul, furthermore, says the Gemara, not only did Shmuel no longer consider her his shifcha kananis, but moreover, al gita de cherusa nami lo yatzucha. Shmuel didn't even require shtar shichur, because Shmuel atamei. Shmuel, unlike the opinion that we spoke about earlier, holds the Amish Shmuel hamafka avdoi yoytz lecheres venitzarket shichur. Shmuel, unlike the previous position that we explained, that says that there's two components to the ownership of an Eved, Mammon and Isser. And even if there's no longer of an own, even if there's no longer ownership of Mammon, there's still the issue of Isser still needs to be dealt with. Shmuel holds that as soon as there's no longer a Mammon ownership, the Isser ownership immediately falls away too, and there is no need for get shechra. Shinema, as the pasuk says, the call Eved Ish Miknas Kesef. So the pasuk speaks about Eved Ish V'loy Eved Isha. This pasuk speaking about a Karman Pesach, that Torah teaches us that someone cannot participate in the Karman Pesach if he has Eved Kanani who did not have a bris mila. So the question is it only Eved Ish if the Eved Kanani is owned by a male V'loy Eved Isha? El Eved Sheyesh Loy Rishas Rabbi Olav Kari Eved. If I have monetary ownership over the Eved, he's still my own Eved. Anyway, Rishus L'Rabbi Olav, and Ikari Eved. If I have no longer any monetary ownership on him, he's not my Eved at all, even for Isser, and there is no need for Shtar Shechra. Says the Gemara, Amsi Rav Abba Bazut Rishtaboy. The slave, the Shifcha Kananis of Abba Abba was captured. Pakahuta Mudul Shemitasa. A non-Jew ransomed her with the intent to take her as a wife. Shochul of the day. So the Rabbonim sent Rab Abba the following message. E Yov Avdus, if you would want to do the right thing, Shodala Gita de Cherusa. Send her a Shtar Shechur. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, how could he send her a Shtar Shechur? She's not in his Rishus. And the Halach is that something that's not in my Rishus, I can't send a Shtar Shechur, I don't have control over it. So the Or Sameach answers that, going back to the concept that we learned earlier, the ownership of an Eved is not just a financial ownership, but also reflects an Isser ownership, and for that it makes no difference. That makes no difference if I have it in my Rishus or not. The Stipler answers that if the point of the Shtar Shechur was to sell to someone else, there the halacha would be indeed that it doesn't help. But here, the Shtar Shechur would accomplish that she should become this goy's. For that, it would help. Says the Gemara, Hechidam, exactly what is the case? Either Matzah Parkalei, if this person was willing to accept ransom, Lam Legita Techerusa. So why do they need to write a Shtar Shechur? Ransom her. The Rabbanim should say, ransom her. The Loimot Parkala, and if he can't ransom her, Kishad Legita Techerusa Mahava, why will the Shtar Shechur help? Says the Gemara, Loim the Matzah Parkala. It wasn't a case where the guy would have accepted ransom. However, the Kivan, the Mishadullah, Gita de Cherusa, but what the concern was that people, the Jewish people of the community, will not contribute money for the ransom of a Shifcha Kananis. So therefore, they asked him, send the Shtar Shechur, which will cause the Chaburi Mechabri Hadodi Perkala. The people in the community will join together in order to ransom her. This guy was not prepared to accept ransom. However, kiven the mashadla gita de charusa, once the Shtar Shechur will be sent, mitzvah ba'ape umafrikle, will become apparent, will become known to this guy that she is a shifcha, and that will be an embarrassment to her, and he will let her go. Ask the Gemara, is a guy not happy with a shifcha kananis? V'amamar chaviv lehem behemtam shal Yisrael yosim neshaseim. The goyim like anything that was once Jewish. So shifcha kananis, that certainly to a level is considered a Jewish person, that's not something that's unacceptable to a goy. Answers the Gemara, hani mili, when does a goy want such a Jewish thing only b'tzina privately? But for Esya, if you would have sent a shtar shichur that everybody is aware of, so everybody would be aware that she was a shifcha kananis and that he's living with a shifcha kananis, zila bar milsa would be very embarrassing to him. Says the Gemara, who am sudav pumbedisa. There was a shifcha kananis in pumbedisa that have ma'abdebe inchi yisura. The people were doing immoral acts with her. Amr Abaya, ilav the Amr of Yehuda Meshmul, kol meshachar avdei ever basay. If not for the halacha that Shmuel says that whoever frees his eved is over mitzvah sasei, have a kafina lalamara, I would have forced her master, the kasul agita de charusa, to write from mishtar shechur. Ravina says kaha moed Rav Yehuda. In this case, Rav Yehuda actually says that she should be freed mishamilsa di asura. If here by freeing her it will prevent her from doing a virus with people, we are indeed allowed to free her. Ask the Gemara, v'abaya mishum esur loy, does Abaya hold that you're not allowed, because of an isser, you're not allowed to free her to prevent from doing an isser? Hamrav chanina ba katina amrav yitzchok, there was a story with a certain woman, she was half free and half beschayrin, and therefore she couldn't marry a regular Jew because she was chatzi shivcha. She couldn't marry an eved kanani because she was chatzi beschayrin, the kofas rabba of osi ben chayrin, and they forced her master, her owner, to free her. Ramam Nachm Yitzchok, because minik hefka nagabu, people were acting inappropriately with her, so because of that they forced him to free her. So why here shouldn't they be able, according to Abaya, to force the owner to free her? Answer the Gemara, we can't compare the situations. She's not able to marry an Eved, nor, she can't marry not an Eved Kanani, nor a regular Jew, as we explained. Here, she can have another Eved Kanani marry her. And since he can have another Kanani marry her, that will guard her from doing anything wrong. So Tosfos Rosh asks, if that's the case, so why is there a concern? If that's the case, why was Abayas thinking that he would have wanted her to be freed? So Tosfos Rosh answers that Abayas still felt that the shmirah that an Eved Kanani gives is not a very high level of shmira, and therefore, if not for the halacha of kol meshachar avdoi over basay, he would have preferred that she should be freed. The question is, why couldn't she have been given to an eved ivri? The halacha is that a shifcha kananis is allowed to marry an eved ivri. So Rishonim answer, the halacha that a shifcha kananis can marry an eved ivri is only if her owner also happens to own an eved ivri, and this owner did not own an eved ivri, so he didn't have an eved ivri to give her. The shifcha kananis, in other words, explained the Rishonim, a shifcha kananis can marry an eved kanani whether he's owned by the same owner or not. An eved ivri, however, she may only marry if the same person owns both the shifcha kananis and the eved ivri. Why? So Rabbi Chanan explains, the reason a shifcha kananis is allowed to marry an eved ivri, because as the Torah tells us in Parashas Mishpatim, the children born from that union will belong to the owner. So only if he owns the eved ivri, and therefore the children will be his, does he have a right to tell the shifcha kananis to marry the eved ivri. But if he doesn't own the eved ivri, and the children will therefore not necessarily be his, he has no right to give the shifcha kananis to the eved ivri. And here, this person did not own his own eved ivri that he could give the shifcha kananis to. Gufa, Amar Yehuda Meshmu, Kol Ha Meshachar Avdoi Oiva Basay. If somebody is Mishachar is Oiva, his Ever Kanani, he's Oiva Mitzvah Asay. Shnemar Lo'oilam Behem Tavoidu. They have to remain Yavodim forever. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, Meisvei Rebbe Lezer, Shenichnas Rebbeis HaKnesses Rebbe Matzah Asara, Rebbe Lezer came to a shul and he didn't find 10 people, V'shichur Avdoi V'shlim La'asara, and he freed his Eved to have a minion. Are you not allowed to free an Eved? Answers the Gemara, Mitzvah Shani. There was a mitzvah, and for a mitzvah it's something else, which of course is a very important issue amongst the Rishonim in understanding what does the Gemara mean by Mitzvah Shani. Some Rishonim explain that the din of Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu is not a full-fledged mitzvah saseh, it's only an asmachta, and therefore since it's only an asmachta, we waive it b'mokah mitzvah. Other Rishonim explain that the basis of Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu, that you're not allowed to free an Eved, is because Lo Sechonim. We're not allowed to give a Jew, a non-Jew, a gift, a matnas chinam, for no reason. However, if there's a purpose in giving him a gift, in this, as in our case, that we should be able to have a minion, then the halacha of Lo Sechonim doesn't apply. Others explain that the mitzvah of davening b'minyan may be considered a daraisa. Why may it be considered a daraisa? Because the pasuk says v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. We could only say kedusha when there's a minyan, and saying kedusha is included in the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem, and therefore it overrides this mitzvah. Others say that the mitzvah is Birkus Kahanim, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Others say that it was not, in fact there's an interesting Ksav Sofer around this that says that it wasn't Shabbos, but it was during the week, but they had not read Parsha Zohar on Shabbos, and from here he says there's a proof that a Parsha Zohar wasn't read on Shabbos, it can be read during the week, and the Chiyuv of laning Parsha Zohar, the chiyuv of laning Parsha Zohar is a chiyuv d'oraisa, which overrides the isser of lo'olam behem tavoidu. However, others suggest that even if we'll say that davening b'minyan is not a mitzvah d'oraisa, still, since the Gemara says that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to a, and even if we'll say it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, the Mefarshim question, why is this mitzvah d'oraisa greater than the mitzvah d'oraisa lo'olam behem tavoidu? So Mefarshim explained, since the Gemara says that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to shul and he doesn't find a minion, miyad koyes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. So this is the mitzvah say of minion is mitzvah say that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get angry. Therefore, it overrides lo'olam behem tavoidu that doesn't come with that anger with it. Others say that even if we'll say that minion is not a deraisa, and lo'olam behem tavoidu is a deraisa, since it's a mitzvah derabim, and an important mitzvah derabim, it overrides the mitzvah's assay of lo'olam behem tavoidu. And in fact, there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe says in a tshuva that a person who, he was asked by a Talmud Chacham who learns late at night, and in his community there's only one minyan for Shachris early in the morning, and by him learning late at night he's unable to attend that minyan, what should he do? Says Rav Moshe, go to sleep, don't miss minyan, unless you're Tarosoy Yimnosoy. The Chinuch says a very interesting approach. The Chinuch says, why is the Torah so makbid that we should not free an Eved Kanani? The reason is, he says, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us an Eved Kanani to make it easier for us to do Torah and Mitzvahs. He'll do our work, and we should be able to do Torah and Mitzvahs. But if the Eved Kanani can help us be Mekayim Torah and Mitzvahs, by freeing him, he'll be part of the minyan, then of course, that's the whole purpose of our having an Eved Kanani, and therefore, he should be freed, that we should be able to free him. The Rishonim ask, if the halacha is that you're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani. There's a machloikis mesechta tamura. The Torah says you shouldn't do something. If you do it, it doesn't have any effect. So how could the freeing of the Eved have any validity? So Rekiv Ega says, here there's a gzeres akasiv, that even though you're not supposed to free him, if you did free him, it'll work. The Chassam Sofer, the Pnei Yeshua, say that rule of Kam Nilsa the Omer Rachmana Yovid Loi Mahani is only by mitzvahs lois asei. Loilam behem tavoidu is a mitzvahs asei. Tan Rabbanan, loilam behem tavoidu is a rishus. Divrei Rabbi Shmo. Kiva ima chayva. So ask the Rabbi Dimon Rilezer Savalei command am rishus, and therefore there's no problem that he freed his slave, because there's no issa to free him. Says the Gemara, like Sakadatach, we can't attribute such an opinion to Rabbi Lezer. The Tanya Behed Rabbi Lezer, I'm a chayv, Rabbi Lezer is of the opinion that Loilam Behem Tavoidu is not just a reshus, it's an obligation. And here we bring up a concept that we discussed earlier. If we have a machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Bishmol, Rekiva and Bishmol, if something is a mitzvah or not, that Loilam Behem Tavoidu is one of mitzvahs to say, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's not. How will Rabbi Shmuel get to Taryag mitzvahs, to 613 mitzvahs? And as we've quoted earlier, whenever there's a discrepancy in the number of mitzvahs, we could rely on the question if the four tzitzis that we wear on the four corners of our beged, are they considered four separate mitzvahs or one mitzvah? So if we'll say that the four separate mitzvahs, here's a place to make up mitzvahs that a Tana may be missing. Amar Rabbah. Behanis klas mili, for these three reasons, nachsi bal batayim nechseim, people lose their wealth. The mafki avdayu lecherusa, because they free their evadim, or the sairi nechsayu b'shabsa, and they inspect their property on Shabbos, or the kavis adasu b'shabsa b'idim b'medrasha, and they have meals on Shabbos in the time when everybody's in the shul listening to a shir. Dom rav chiyah bar abba, om rav yochanan, shtei mishpachas, Achas covers sotso b'shabso. One ate the main meal on Shabbos. V'achas covers sotso b'erev Shabbos. And one ate the meal on erev Shabbos b'shteim nekru. And they both were uprooted. So as the Mefarshim explained, the mishpacha that ate the meal on erev Shabbos did the wrong thing, because you're not supposed to. So Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat is you're not supposed to eat the meal on Friday afternoon. You're supposed to eat the meal on Shabbos. In fact, the Mishnah Berura has a discussion if there was a bris on Friday, specifically it was a bris that's manoi, that was a pushed off bris, if you're allowed to eat the Sudas bris after Chatzos on Erev Shabbos. And here, this meal, these family, as Rishonim say, on a regular basis, ate their meals Friday, ate a big meal Friday afternoon after Chatzos. However, another pshat is that they ate a better meal on Friday night than they ate on Shabbos. And the halacha is that you're not supposed to eat you're supposed to be mechabed. You're supposed to honor the meal Shabbos by day more than the meal Friday night. And that's why there's a minig that if you some people had the minig to only eat fish Shabbos by day, not Friday night, or to eat better fish Shabbos day than Friday night, because you're supposed to be mechabed the Shabbos day meal more than the Friday night meal. That's why the Pesach can say the minig is to eat chont and kugel by Shabbos by day, not Friday night. Those are the metame Shabbos. However, the Aruch HaShulchan does point out that let's say there is a food which is a better food, but you can't eat it Shabbos by day, you could only eat it by night. The example he gives is soup. Let's say somebody really enjoys soup, but it's hard to eat soup Shabbos by day by keeping it hot. So therefore, even though it's a geshmaka meichel, the halacha is you're allowed to eat it Friday night and not Shabbos by day. Mefarshim explain what is the point of this Gemara. So the point that many Mefarshim say the Gemara is teaching us is our Gemara is referring to a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Ashiris. The person has wealth. The person has Avodim. But if he takes the wealth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him and uses it in the wrong way, he uses it, he has Avodim, and he frees the avodim. We just learned you're not allowed to free avodim. He has properties that should make his life easier, and he abuses and he's mechalal the Shabbos by going out on Shabbos to inspect those fields. Or he, Baruch Hashem, has an abundance of food, but he doesn't use it. He eats that food when he's supposed to be going to a shir. He eats that food at the wrong time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an ashiris in order that he should be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better, and he abuses that ashiris, that person will lose his ashiris, chas v'shalom. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Amar Rav, HaMagdish Avdoi Yotze L'Cheres. If somebody is Magdish, his Avdoi goes out to L'Cheres. My Tama, what's the reason? Gufa L'Kadosh, his body cannot. So before we go into the Gemara, we have to explain a concept. The halacha is typically there are two types of kedushas. There's kedushas haguf or kedushas bedek habayis. Kedushas haguf doesn't apply by an eved. Kedushas bedek habayis doesn't apply by eved. And ledei ledmei loikomer. And he didn't use the word that he intends to make this eved that only that the value should be kadosh. And therefore, what we say he meant was Dilheva Am Kaddish Kamer. He meant that the Eved should be part of the Jewish people. He should be freed. Rav Yosef Amarav Hamafka Avdo Yotz Lecheres. If you say your Eved is Hefki, goes out Lecheres. Says the Gemara. Mandom and Magdish. According to Mandom, that says if you Magdish Eved, he goes out free. Certainly Kol Shkein Mafker. The halacha is that he goes out free. However, Mandom and Mafker Av a Magdish Loy. Because perhaps what he was magdishit, what he meant was dimla to makeomer. What he meant was only that the value of the effort should be kadosh, not necessarily to free him. Toshma, the amar of chibar avin amarav, echadze, both the evid that was made hefker and the evid that was made hegdish, yoitz lecheres v'tzarch get shechar. Amarava, amesvina shmeitzin. But this causes us to ask the following question from a braisa. It says in a braisa, "Hamagdish nechasov." If somebody's magdish is nechasim, v'hoi ben avodim, and amongst his nechasim there's avodim, and as gbar mishoyim letzion lecheres, the gizbarim can't free them. Av a moichron mishoyim lecherim, they sell them to others. V'cherim moichron mishoyim lecheres, and they, the other people, could release them. If they, the other people could release them. Why is there a difference between the other people and the Gizbar? So Mefarshim explained because the Gizbar freeing them shows a disrespect to the Hegdish, and that's why we're more mapped by the Gizbar than we are by other people. In fact, I saw a very interesting psak based on this Gemara. Let's say a shul owns different objects that are no longer needs. The shul should not give them away for free. Again, because it shows a disrespect for the Hegdish item. Rabbi Omer, Oymani, he can give his own value to the Hegdish and go out. Because he's like he's buying himself from Hegdish. So here we see that the Avodim, when we're Magdish Avodim, we mean that the value should go to Hegdish. Answers the Gemara, Mas Nisan Karamas Leid Rav. You're asking a question from the Brisa to Rav? Rav Tana Upolik. Toshma. The Pasuk says, Ach Kol Cherim, Mi Odom, so it says here clearly that Eved can be made Hegdish. So the Rishonim ask, so why don't we just say the Rav is disagreeing on this Braisa too? Rav Tana Upolik. Answer the Rishonim, here the Braisa is explaining a Pasik. Rav can't argue on a Pasik. Answer the Gemara, Hochem Maiskinen Dama Ledmei. We clearly said that he's being Magdish to Eved, that the value of the Eved should belong to Hegdish. So why don't we explain the previous Braisa, Idach Namid Amla Demei, that's the case. Says Mar Yehochi, then the Braisa is hard to understand. The Braisa said that the administrators of Hegdish can't free the Eved, even if he pays for his freedom. Ask the Gemara, Gizbar Mai Eved Atayu. They don't own the Eved, they just receive the value. The su, Ava Moichon Oysel Lecherim, the Beis said that he could be sold. Vachem Oysel Oysel Lecheris. Achem Eved Atayu. Who's freeing the Eved? The owner just promised his value to Hegdish. The su, we furthermore learned in that Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Oymani, Afu Noisin the Me'atzma Vyotzi. He could pay Hegdish's value and go out, Neitshukum Moicholoi. Because it's like he's buying himself from Hegdish. Vila de May. But if that Braisa is referring to only to a case where his value was made Hegdish, Neishmak Machuloi, how could he sell him? The Hegdish doesn't even own him in the first place. Obviously, the Braisa is not referring to somebody who only was Magdish the value of the Hegdish, and yet this Braisa clearly seems to indicate that one can, when one says he's Magdish's Eved, he means Hegdish, and doesn't mean, like Rav said, that the Eved should become free and part of the Jewish people.